Good morning, everyone. It's good to see everyone today. If you are a guest, we are glad to have you. My name is John Paul. If there's anything I can do for you, please let me know. For everyone, I want to tell you that today I am starting something new. We're starting a new little series. And basically what I'm going to be doing the next few weeks as we go on is I'm going to be preaching about Moses. More specifically, things that we can learn about Moses. And so we're basically going to be looking at the life of Moses, and that's why I had this very long section on chapter 3, because I think out of everything that Moses accomplishes in his life, this is the most important event. So to me, we're going to start for the most important event. And before I get to that, I want to talk about what is going on here. And this is God is calling Moses. Amen, right? God's calling Moses. And he doesn't call Moses like I feel like he calls me. This is God appearing before Moses. And so Moses can't ignore it at all. Where I have to look and I'm like, okay, is this what God wants me to do? Does anybody have that frustration with God? I know I do. I mean, sometimes it's really, really obvious. Sometimes I can go and I can sit in a place and I can listen for about 10, 15 minutes. I'm like, okay, I'm going to China. And for those of you who don't know, that's actually what happened to me. I sat in a room for 15 minutes and decided right then that is where God wanted me to go. It took me 4 years to get there. But I knew that calling was so clear. But at other times, I'm listening to my kids talk about something or my wife complain about something. I can say that because she's not here. And I'm like, God, what do you want me to do here? Please give me a clear sign. Where's my burning bush? Why can't I have that burning bush? Well, sometimes I do, sometimes I go. God works in God's way and in His time, and that frustrates me so much. But it's okay. It's okay, because God does call you. Now, I want to talk about God's call, because when I talk about God's call, there are two types of God's call. There's the big call, and there's the little call. And they're both important. But really, the little one can't happen without that big one. Well, I suppose it can, but it's really kind of misses the point. And that big one is that primary call, and that's that call to follow Him. Or in our case, the call to invite Him to be part of your life, or to the call to be a Christian. So that's the big C. The little one is everything else that comes after that. The things you do because you are part of God's children. You're more involved in your community. Maybe you go decide that you want to do missionary work. Maybe you want to help the less fortunate. I don't know. Whatever your call is, that's something that God's going to tell you. And maybe I can help you interpret that, but I can't tell you what it is. But that's the great thing about us being together, is we can help each other respond to God's call. So what is that call? It's basically whatever God has put in your heart, because He works in you, as Paul says in Philippians, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. So because God has called you, He wants you to spend special attention to respond to that call. You need to be able to listen when it's clear that that call is being made to you. It's not really something you can ignore. You could try, and maybe you can ask God to not send you. But what we find out, especially when we read Jeremiah, is Jeremiah did not want to respond to God's call. Jonah did not want to respond to God's call. And look what happened to them. So, I think if you're getting the call, you better answer. But, you know, when you get the call, there are certain things that I would ask that, you know, make sure God is speaking to you. And a lot of that is, talk to the people around you. We are a great resource as a community, but also your friends and family, because God's call might also be changing their lives as well. So when God called me to China, I knew I wanted to go to China. There was never any doubt in my mind that I wanted to go to China. But then at some point, I don't know, she maybe a year later, we went to the World Mission Workshop, and I just started dating this girl. And I'm like, hey, I want you to come see something with me. So I brought her to one of these information meetings on going to do missionary work in China. And I said, well, what do you think? And she goes, it's a country? So I'm like, okay, I think I have to clarify here. All right, well, let me tell you about this. This might be going somewhere. I don't really know where this is going because this is still pretty early in our relationship. And I said, I'm serious about going to China. And so if you want to be serious about me, I need you to be serious about going to China as well. That was a very big step. And I didn't even think anything about it. I've thought about it a lot since then, because I tell this a lot and people always laugh. But that must have been very, very daunting for Rachel to say, hey, this boy you just kind of started to date is asking you to go do missionary work, and you're not even seriously considering marriage at this point. But I thought it was fair to her, because at that point in my life, I was probably looking for a spouse, and I wanted her to know that if she was looking for a husband, that this would have to be something that she would have to talk about. And so maybe when you think about responding to God's call, these are the kind of things that you have to think about as well. And so I encourage you to talk to your significant others, or your church, your congregation, because God put these people in your lives to help you. Now, there's a lot I could say about this subject, but I found this really great resource that was done by the Southern University about how to respond to God's call. And while there's some things that they put that I don't necessarily agree with, I really wanted to share that these few things that they did. It's kind of like a do and don't of responding to God's call. And that is, first one, the tendency to go alone. God doesn't call us to be alone. That's why he said in the beginning, it is not good for man to be alone. He needs that better half. Nope, no one's going to hit that one. Okay, to be with them, or even their families or their friends. I find that the people who, in my experience, the people who do really, really well in the mission field are the ones that are married. They're the ones who have someone else to help them. They are less likely to suffer burnout or frustration. They have someone there that can help keep them in check. So embrace your community, embrace your resources, embrace your church, embrace your families. Don't try to be like someone else. This was my first big mistake in the mission field, was I thought I had to be like this particular person. And so I went over there and I did this thing, and it was a disaster. My first few months were just terrible. In fact, after my first few months, I was ready to quit, until I had a talk with someone who asked me what I was doing, and he's like, that doesn't sound like you at all. And I said, well, no, it's not. And he goes, then it's not going to work for you. Now, I know that there are things about me that you guys probably don't like. Anyone want to volunteer that information? Oh, Philip will. Yeah. I don't think we have enough time to talk about that stuff today. But when you respond to God's call, you have to be yourself, because God created you. He did not create you to be someone else. And so use the talents that God gave you when you're responding to his call. Next, realize that this is God's goal, not your own personal dream. Wouldn't it be great to go and travel abroad? I love to travel. This was one of my favorite things I did in China, was traveling all around the country. But that wasn't the reason I went there. So one of the other things that I found, that people who had problems over there were trying to go there for the purpose of doing something else. So when you respond to God's call, maybe your call isn't going to go abroad, but your call should be to follow God's will. And maybe your will might coincide with that, but then when it does, you run into the problem of overriding God's work to do your own thing. And so this really calls you to, even the general call of respond, of sharing God's work, should be to be obedient to God and be passionate about what He calls you to do, or what He wants you to do, or to share His work. So all that. I do have one more. I forgot about this one. Very, very simply, don't be anxious and seek God through prayer. Okay, I do want to move forward because I think I've kind of beat this over the head a little bit too much. All right, so what does any of this have to do with Moses? I had you read that really long section on Moses, so obviously I have a point. What does all of that have to do with Moses? Well, to get to that, I want to back up and I want to talk about the events leading to that point. Now, 430 years prior to that event, probably actually more, there's a family that decides to move to Egypt because of a famine. And so that family moves there. This is Joseph and his brothers and his father. And they all move there because of the famine and because some other events. And they grow up there. They die there. Their children grow up there. They die there. This happens. This cycle keeps happening for almost 430 years. Okay, at some point in that timeline, there is another king who comes and says, I don't really like these people. Maybe he says something like that. I'm guessing. And he says, I don't really like these people. I want to get rid of these people. How can I get rid of these people? Well, let's make them slaves. This will probably kill them off. And when that didn't work, he said they were still multiplying. He eventually tries to kill them off by killing off all the males. And so this is how Moses ends up in the king's household. Because he was supposed to die, and so his mother put him in a basket in a river, and Pharaoh's daughter finds him and decides to raise him. And so he grows up. We don't really know anything about Moses at this point till he's about 40. And he sees some people. He gets into a fight. It leads to something terrible. I'm going to come back to that in a second. And then he runs away, saves some women from some shepherds, marries one of them. And now he went from living in this great palace to now being a shepherd. That's kind of a hard fall. So this is where Moses is in his life. He went from being this great person, probably in, not royal, but living off the benefit of royalty, to now being a lonely shepherd. What I want to say about Moses is we look at Moses and we recognize that he is someone important. Right? Would you guys agree with that? But when we only recognize him as important because of the events that take place in Exodus chapter 3 and chapter 4. Everything else is because of those two events. And this is why I want to talk about the call, is because God, we look at the call and we think all these special circumstances have to be surround us to respond to God's call. But when we look at the life of Moses and we look at everything that is happening when God is trying to call Moses, it's just not working out. Not for him anyway. He tries so hard to get out of it. And so that's what I want to say about your call, is when we look at someone like Moses, he's not really all that different from you. Well, actually, I would probably say you're even better than him. Because you didn't kill anybody. I don't think anybody in here killed anybody. So, that's what I want to get to. First off, you don't have to be in a special place for God to call you. Where's Moses? Well, this is where Moses is. Now, Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. So Moses is just being a shepherd. Pretty low on the totem pole. Nothing special. He's got a wife, he's got some kids, and he watches over sheep. There's a lot of farmers in here. There's a lot of there's teachers in here. There's, I don't know, There's a lot of different things in here. And you might look at your job and you might think that that is not anything special. But to God, that doesn't really matter. Just like it didn't really matter to Moses. So you do not have to be in a special place for God to call you. You don't even have to be special. Moses himself didn't even think he was special. He says to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Who was he? Nobody. When I first came here, all the way back in January, one of the things I said, I don't consider myself anybody special. I still don't think I'm anybody special. But I still think that God has called me to do what I'm doing, and that's the reason I do it. So please don't treat me as special. But you don't have to be special for God to call you. Just like Moses wasn't, just like I'm not. He will still use you. You don't have to be young for God to call you. How old is Moses at this point? Well, we can get this from Acts. Acts tells us that he was 40 years old when he went to his brothers and sisters in Israel. This is right before he ran away. And then it said 40 more years passed before the events that led up to Mount Sinai, or Mount Horeb. This word is used interchangeably in the Old Testament. So he's at least 80 years old. I know there's at least one person in this room older than that. Is anybody else close? No? So God called Moses when he was 80 years old. How old was Abraham? I think Abraham was 75. See, God doesn't just call the young. We look at going out into the world as kind of a young man's game because it is easier for them. Most of them don't have families, or well, they probably do, but most of them don't have wives or children. Most of them don't have any house or commitment or large responsibilities. And so it's easier for them to pick up the very few possessions they have and go across the world and tell people about God. But from what we see here, when we read about the story of Moses, is that you don't have to be young to do it. God will still call you. You don't have to be good for God to call you. We don't really rate sins in the Bible, but I know morally we consider murder to be the worst thing a person can do. And there's at least two people that we know of who did this act that God called. Once in the Old Testament, Moses that we're talking about, and once in the New Testament, Paul. And God used those two people to be some of the most significant changes for Judaism and for Christianity. And they're still next to Christ. Paul is probably considered to be one of the greatest people in the Old Testament. New Testament, sorry. And Moses, we already know Moses is next to Elijah. You don't have to be good for God to call you. I hope you're good. I hope you're living a good life. But God doesn't just call the good. He also calls the bad. God could use anybody. You don't have to have power for God to call you. Now, God gave Moses power, as we see here. God said to him, "What is it in your hand?" He said, "A staff." And he said, "Throw it on the ground." And he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses ran from it. I wish God can give me that kind of power. God, I want the power to turn a piece of wood into a snake. I want the power to turn a river into blood. Why can't I have that kind of power, God? No, but you don't have to have power. Here we see Moses was afraid of that power. But God will give you the ability to do what He wants you to do. You don't have to be a good speaker. But Moses said to him, "Lord, O Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue." How many people here would say they are not good speakers? This is my hand. It's up. I don't think I'm a good speaker. I think you're a great speaker, Thomas. I have to work on it every day. Do you know what I do on do you guys know what I do on Thursdays? On Thursdays, I come up here and I stand on this stage and I do exactly what I'm doing right now. By the time you hear what I'm saying, it's at least the third time that I've done it. So I know that I have to come up here and practice just so I can do this message. But I don't have to be good. God still called me to do it. And He knows I'm not a good speaker. Or maybe He has more faith in me than I do. You don't have to be brave. I love this line. This is probably my favorite line in this whole section. Lord, please send someone else. How many times have I thought this line? Has anybody here ever thought this line? Send someone else. Just please don't choose me. My life would be so much easier if you didn't choose me. But you don't have to be brave for God to call you. He might tell you to be brave. He certainly told Joshua. But you don't have to be for it to happen. And finally, as I already said, you don't have to be alone. In Exodus 4, we learn that Aaron is coming to visit Moses. And God knows it. In fact, He tells him this, and this is what He says. You can use Aaron to speak for you. He's like, your excuses aren't going to work on me. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be your mouth, and with his mouth and will teach you both what to do. He shall speak for you to the people, and he shall be your mouth, and you shall be as God to him. I plan to go to China alone. God didn't do that. God said, I'm going to send someone to help you. And it has been the greatest experience of my life. Well, one of them. I have a lot. And there are certainly times when it was frustrating. And there are certainly times that I wanted to give up. But I wouldn't trade it for the world. And I don't regret it at all. Because serving God has been an honor. Responding to God's call has been an honor. So what we see here, what we get from the lesson is God calls the strong and the weak. He calls the good and the bad. He calls the proud and the meek. Which means God can call every single person in this room. And He will. And that starts with that first call. And that's something I can help you with. But the second one, I hope you're listening to God. And I hope when He calls that you answer the phone. If there's something I can do for you, or if you'd like to respond to that first call, we invite you to stand as we sing this song.